All right, and as you're finding your place, turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22, and we're just going to read one verse for our text here this afternoon. Try not to be long this afternoon. There's Pioneer Home this afternoon for opportunity to preach the Word of God there. And there's some more video and recording things that we need to do this afternoon too. So try not to keep you here, but I do want to direct your attention to God's Word again this afternoon. And look at verse 5 of Joshua chapter 22. The Bible says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all of his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you challenge us with your word again this afternoon? And Lord, we do pray for your presence, your spirit. And Lord, that each heart would be mindful and on purpose about engaging today. That you'd keep us awake and attentive and, Lord, diligent in the Word of God here today. For the purpose of, Lord, would you apply it in my life? Lord, would you grow me from this? Lord, would you feed me and cause me to know what your will is? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are two key words that I want to draw your attention to before we get going through this verse. The verse says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you." The words that I want to draw your attention to is the word diligent and the word heed. Joshua, speaking to the nation of Israel, charges them and says, the instruction is, you need to take diligent heed to some things. The word diligent means vigorous, it means holy, it means speedily. The word holy means completely. The word heed means to make sure, to regard, and to observe. So in other words, Joshua is saying that you need to give regard, vigorous regard. You need to completely observe, speedily, quickly observe these things that you've been charged with. And that application certainly can be made for God's people today. To give diligent heed, vigorous, holy, or completely regard to an observation or observance of the things of God in our life. That's what I want to encourage you with. This afternoon, we're going to talk about God's formula for success in our Christian life. In the context here, Joshua is giving these people, the nation of Israel, freedom and the liberty to go about their lives now that the land of Canaan had been conquered and it had been given to them. Joshua is setting them free, giving them liberty to go about their lives and to make a life for themselves. But he starts off with this admonition with the word "but." He says, "but," in verse 5, "take diligent heed." And we can ask ourselves the question, why? Why does he start that way? If he's giving liberty and freedom to go about and make a life for themselves in the land of Canaan, the promised land, why does he start this way? We kind of get the impression that there was danger that could befall them once they made life for themselves. We could say that they were going about to establish life and make life as normal, you know, for them. Are you following me here? This is what they were about to do. And we could maybe imagine that there was a danger that would befall them with life as normal. And I would say to you this afternoon, sometimes life as normal can absolutely be our enemy. You know, things like missions trips that we're about to go on in April to Lebanon and to spend time with our evangelist, Brother Noah, those kinds of things can be a charge to the soul and to the spirit. They can be something that is, you know, it's like a boost of energy. It's focus on the things of God. I distinctly remember as a teenager, a young man spending summers with my grandfather in Mexico, who was a missionary to Mexico. I remember the summer that I was saved, the spring that I was saved. That summer, I went and spent that entire summer with my grandpa in Mexico. And I remember very distinctly the feeling of, okay, God is trying to work in my life in some way, and really coming to a place where there's a drive to want to be a witness for Christ. And we'd go into Mexico and we'd hold meetings, and we'd go through towns and villages door to door, and then we'd hold a meeting at night, and just constant feeding of the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, and just the burden, the desire to, I didn't even know Spanish, but I learned a lot of it that summer, even to the point of being able to sit and point someone to the Word of God in some ways. And it was life-changing. And I remember God beginning to work in my heart and my life, even to the point where He was going to call me to preach. But it's things like that, you know, missions trips that are like a boost, and they're life-changing things that are temporary, that are momentary, but they're powerful. Things like our revival conference in January. The Word of God is being preached, and we've prayed, and we've worked, and we've prayed, and God shows Himself, and God works in our life, and those things are amazing. But then what comes next? Life is normal, right? Life is normal can absolutely be an enemy to the child of God. And we need these principles so as to not let life as normal be our undoing. It's been a little while since I asked the question, but how are you doing with the things God worked in your life during our revival meeting? Have you noticed a tendency to slip back into life as normal? Are you with me here? You following? See where we're going here. The nation of Israel was to put to practice with much fervency and much diligence the admonitions and the charge that Moses had given to them, which he received of the Lord. Joshua says, you need to take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. This wasn't just a suggestion. And we must understand the attitude even behind the words that were spoken. Joshua was speaking with passion here, that these people were to do these things with fervency. There were specific things that Joshua warned them about. And these were things that would help them in their life. And they're things that would keep them in a relationship with their God. I would say as well this afternoon that Israel is a picture of the Christian life in so many ways. And if that is true, then we can take a look at what God was telling them to apply in their own lives, and we can also make application and relevance for our own life as well. So I want us to break this verse down here, and I've entitled the message God's Formula for Success in the Christian Life. The first thing that we observe here is that Joshua says to be fervent and to take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. The first admonition is to do the law, to do the commandment, to do and follow basically the Word of God, to be obedient to it. When he says, here's the charge, to do the commandment and the law, it implies that they already had prior knowledge as to what that was. There wasn't real learning of the law that had to be done here. He simply says, you need to do this. Do the law. They had knowledge of what it was. It also implies some personal accountability here. They had the commands. It was a matter of them putting them to practice. There's personal accountability here because there wasn't anyone forcing them or overseeing them to do these things. God was holding them accountable personally. You know, a person can know all there is to know about, let's say, health, diet, and exercise, okay? A person can know all there is to know about fitness and anything else. But if they don't put what they know to practice, then it doesn't do them any good. But the same can be said for principles of God's Word. We can have the head knowledge. We can know what the Word of God tells us and the commands of it. But if we don't put it to practice, it doesn't actually do us any good at all. James 1 in verse 22 and following tells us what? To be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Let's go over there because there's something else that James highlights in James chapter 1 in verse 22 and down through verse 25. James 1:22, I mentioned it already, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What does James highlight here? When we understand and we know the principles of God's Word, but we don't do them, we're deceiving our own selves. But then he says, for if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He says, it's like, you know what? It's like you're sort of like the person who wakes up in the morning from their night of sleep and they've got bedhead going on everywhere. And you stand in the mirror and you take a look and you're like, oh. But then it's like, and you go your way and forget what manner of man you were. The Word of God does that. It's like a mirror that highlights our life, and we look into it. When we're not a doer of the Word, we deceive ourselves, and we can think, hey, I'm looking pretty good. Did you just look in the mirror? But then notice what he says here as well. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So James highlights here a direct connection between doing God's will and God's Word, being obedient to it, and blessing in our life. And he says the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he sees what manner of man he was. He continues into the law of liberty, and he's a doer, not just a hearer. This man is blessed in his deeds. Let me tell you this. So often, this is a description of us. So often, it's not a knowledge issue with us. So often, it's just failing to do what we know from God's Word. And in this, we set ourselves up for failure. There's a direct connection between doing what we know and God's blessing in our life. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Here the Word of God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What is it that makes our way prosperous and brings success into our life? When the Word of God and the principles of God's Word are observed and put to practice in our life. For example, we can have all of the Bible knowledge that would put us in line with the will of God and that would make a path for blessing in our life, but if that head knowledge is not applied practically, it doesn't do us any good. We find from the Word of God that obedience is what brings blessing in our life. For example, you know what? We know that we're supposed, as members of the Lord's church, we're supposed to tithe. It's a matter of obedience. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And what does the Bible say? And prove me herewith and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. All right? There's a direct connection between obedience to what God says and a pathway for blessing in my life. God says it over and over and over again. We know this principle to be true. But what happens when we don't do the command of the Lord? Even though we know it. You with me? Not a matter of head knowledge. It's a matter of practicing what we know. Well, What do? We take ourselves out of a place where God can bless our life like He wants to. Joshua says to the people, you need to take diligent heed. This is not just a suggestion. You need to be obedient to do the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you with. That was from the Lord Himself. And the same admonition is for us, folks. So often it's not a knowledge issue with us. It's just failing to do what we know. We're talking about God's formula for success. The first way is to do what we already know to do. Amen? Secondly, we look in chapter 22 of Joshua in verse 5. He says, to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God. Here's the second pathway to success. The second in that formula, to love the Lord your God. The word love here is a Hebrew word that means to have affection for, to be friends with. So he says here, to love the Lord your God, to have affection for God, to be a friend of the Lord. What does this imply? It implies fellowship. It implies agreement. You can't be friends with someone that you really don't have anything in connection with, in common with, in agreement with. It also means that you'd have to know God personally in order to call Him friend. You don't call somebody friend that you don't know. You can be an acquaintance, but you don't really call them friend. It means, it implies that we, how is it that you become friends with somebody? How is it that you really get to know somebody and become their friend? It's by spending quality time with them, and not just quality time, but quantity time. You get to know who they are as a person. You get to know what they like. You get to know what they don't like. You get to know all kinds of things about them that knit your heart with theirs to the point where you call them, this is my friend. That's what he's talking about. To love the Lord your God. To be a friend, have an affection for. To spend the time with the Lord together. To know God. How do we do that? Maybe it's through personal devotional time. Talking about it this morning in Sunday school. Devotional time and prayer. That's time spent with God. Where God reveals Himself. We get to know our God. It's about developing a relationship with Him that takes work. Do you spend time with the Lord? Is it important to you, child of God, to develop personal relationship with God? I've seen a lot of faces here that are really tired or disinterested or something. I'm not sure what it is. Think about that. Think about it. Do you spend time intentionally to develop my relationship with my God? Because I want to be His friend. I want Him to call me friend. Look at Psalm 31. Hold your place here. Psalm 31. Remember, we're to take diligent heed to these things. Have you been diligent about your relationship with the Lord, developing that relationship? Psalm 31, verse 23 says, O love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. The one that works on his relationship with the Lord to love Him. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the faithful and He plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Psalm 97 in verse 10, Psalm 97:10 says, Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. You know, when we love the Lord, we're gonna love the same things that God loves. And he says, you love the Lord, hate evil. God hates evil. I don't want it in my life. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 16 is another passage that we can look at quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16, the Bible says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Do you see the connections here between growing in love with the Lord and hating evil, and the connection with growing in love with the Lord and doing His will and His hand of blessing on the life? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. It's not grievous to be separated from this world because I love the things that my God loves. I think this also gives us a little insight into the character of God. It tells us that God wants a close relationship to you, and He wants to bless you. Why would we not want the same thing? Joshua says, take diligent heed. First of all, do the things you know. Love the Lord your God. Work on your relationship with Him. Have affection for Him. Want to be His friend. And then thirdly, we look in Joshua 22:5, and we find that the next thing is to walk in all of His ways. The word walk means to behave. It means to live. It also has the connection with, or carries the meaning of, to follow, to pursue, to run after. So he says, behave, live, follow, pursue, run after all the ways of the Lord. I think this gives the impression or the implication of something that's done on purpose or with intent. You don't run after or pursue after something by accident. If you're chasing after something, you certainly mean to do it. It's on purpose. I'm chasing it. Pursuing after. Look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2 with me. Hold your place here. Colossians 2 and verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So the instruction is, as you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, as you've been saved, His life is now yours, so walk ye in Him. Live like Him. Behave like Him. Live as the Lord would have you to live. And then he says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. How are we rooted and grounded? Well, I don't think that comes about by accident. By walking with purpose in the things of God. He says, as ye have been taught, putting to practice the things you already know. You know, God's not going to force us or make us follow after Him. It's a choice we make. Listen, if we find ourselves on the wrong path or pursuing things, other things, rather than godly things, that's also a choice that we make. I've found myself struggling at times in my Christian life, but then I've also realized that I've stopped pursuing after God and my relationship with the Lord. Sort of life is normal. You following me here? Walk in all of His ways. Here's how we succeed. Do what we know. Work on a relationship with God. Love the Lord your God and walk in His ways on purpose, pursuing after that which is godly, with intent. And then he says in Joshua 22:5, to keep His commandments. This word keep, it means to protect or preserve. It means to watch for. It means to put a hedge about, a hedge of protection. He's talking about keeping, protecting truth in your life. Just like a shepherd keeps his sheep and guards the sheep and protects the sheep, so ought we to protect and keep truth in our life. The shepherd cares for, protects his flock. He doesn't let anything endanger or jeopardize that flock. And here, this is how we ought to treat truth in our life, as something that is precious, that needs to be preserved. Truth in my life needs to be protected and preserved, not only as we know from God's Word, but also preserve the truth in my heart. How? I think we are exposed to all kinds of things that would disintegrate or destroy truth in our life. Things of this world, certainly, that come in and influence the way that we think. We need to be careful what we listen to. We need to be careful who it's coming from, too. He says here, as you've been taught. You know, I've been in full-time ministry 17 years. Pastoring this church for almost 7. But the longer that I'm in ministry, the more I meet people or hear things from other preachers that I just don't agree with. And maybe at one point I did. At one point they taught and preached a certain way and said certain things, but now something along the line has changed. Standards have been lowered. Doctrine watered down. What I'm saying is, truth needs to be preserved and protected in our life. No one is immune to these influences. You know, there are times when I hear pastors hold a position and they might feel like they have a biblical stand on that. And I try to listen to it, try to hear it, but it's just not what I've been taught. It doesn't seem to make sense according to the Word of God. And we can easily be influenced and swayed by opinion. We can be influenced and persuaded by charismatic personality. All kinds of things can destroy truth in our life. We need to be careful what we believe. And here's the bottom line. If I will simply just line up my life with the Word of God, if I will, listen, here's another part of it. If you as a church member will take the Word of God as the standard and you'll line up with it, and as long as your pastor is preaching and expounding the Word of God, you line up with that, you're not going to go wrong when God's Word is the foundation. It keeps and preserves truth in my heart. This keeping of His commandments, this preserving of truth in our heart is so essential to success, God's kind of success in our life. Look what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Sometimes new Christians will be excited about the truth of God and they'll love to listen to preaching. They'll even like read Christian books and so on. And it's happened before where, hey, you know, pastor, this is such a great book, or this is such a great preacher. I was listening to him on a podcast the other day, and I go and I listen, or I hear, and I see, and I was like, oh, wow. More often than not, in cases like that, you know, you can take little bits of truth, but there's a whole lot of other stuff mixed in with that that begins to dilute truth in our life. And I read a lot of books or try to read books, and I've learned that, you know, there's maybe some good in there, but you kind of have to take what you can, take some meat in there, and then spit the bones out. Mm-hmm. We need to be discerning. We need to preserve truth in our life. Paul said to Timothy In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Paul says, hey, Timothy, you know what? Evil men, deceivers, they're going to wax worse and worse as the days go on. And let me tell you, that's so true today. We've got a world full of, quote, Christians like Joel Osteen and the whole rest of the crowd who are influencers of people. But they're deceivers, themselves deceived and deceiving others. But Paul said, Timothy, that's going to happen worse and worse, but you, don't be deceived by that. Continue in the things that you've learned, the things that you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who'd you learn that from? Apostle Paul, your mentor. That's a weighty thing. God doesn't set you in this body as it hath pleased Him for no reason. Are you with me here? God has you here because He wants you to be taught God's Word here. And the things that are taught and the things that are preached from God's Word, the positions we hold, the stands we take, God wants those in your life. 'Said with all love and total care for you. Are you with me here? I think we'll just leave that one for a minute. I would encourage you, don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't let the standard down. Protect truth in your life. It's a pathway to success, God's kind of success. Amen. Look at Joshua 22:5 again. The next thing that Joshua says here is to cleave unto the Lord. So he says, do the things you know. Love the Lord your God. Be a friend. Walk, pursue after His ways. Do it on purpose. Keep His commandments. Guard truth in your life. And cleave unto Him. The word cleave means to abide fast. It means to cling. It means to stick. That means wherever He goes, I go. There are no exceptions. The storms of life come along. Without the Lord, it can be pretty easy to get off course because of the circumstances. But if we're firmly attached to the Lord, then we're not going to stray. We're not going to be tossed to and fro. How do we do that? Well, we have to do that by faith. By knowing truth, doing truth, walking in the ways of the Lord. Cling to it. Stick to it. Amen? The last thing he says then is to serve Him with all your heart. To serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. This simply means compelled to obey. It means to be enslaved. In reality, he says, serve Him. Be a slave by choice. Compelled to obey by choice, though. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good." Boy, it sounds a lot like Joshua 22:5, doesn't it? But this time we find, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Listen, we will be compelled to obey. We'll be compelled to serve Him with all of our heart. But it'll be due to a heart that is full of love for the Lord because we've already been pursuing after Him. We've been careful to put to practice the things that we already know. We've been careful to put to practice the things we've already discussed, even here today. This part becomes easy, the serving the Lord with all of our heart. Because I'm already going to have a surrendered will. I'm already going to have a desire and a craving to serve Him. Why? Because I realize what He's done for me. I think it's best if I am so close to the Lord in my relationship with Him that I can't help but serve Him. All of this, Joshua reminds the people, do with fervency, do with zeal, do with passion, do with fire, do with purpose. I think we choose whether or not our life is going to go down this road or not. And I think there's ample evidence in someone's life when their life is going down this road. There's something about them that shows that they have a relationship with God. They're close to the Lord. God's hand is on their life. God's blessing them. Let me encourage you and challenge you. Do a personal checkup. Even today, where am I at in my relationship to these things? Where am I at in my relationship with the Lord? Is it diligent? Am I diligently taking heed to what I already know? Working on my love relationship with the Lord? Walking in His ways? Keeping truth in my life? Serving Him with all my heart? That is a good formula for success. God's kind. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take Your word and apply it in our life. And Lord, may we be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. But Lord, may we continue therein and put ourselves in the place of blessing in our life. Lord, give us Your grace. We can't do these things of our own accord or in the flesh. We need Your Spirit. We need Your grace. Lord, I pray that we would pursue after it. In Jesus' name, amen.